Big Blue Insider is on News Radio 630 WLAP and the iHeartRadio app. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Or you can tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider, hour number two, and we thank our guest from hour number one, Derek Ramsey, for joining us. Caller off air wanted to know, had heard, I guess, an urban legend maybe, that Ram had never been stopped for negative yardage in that 1977 year, 10-1. I texted Derek during the news, and I asked him that. He said, I wish I could say that was true. So I guess that's not true, but I'll promise you it didn't happen very often. And I broadcast all the home games and went to some of the away games, and I can tell you not many defenses were able to bring him down. So we thank him for that, and we go back to our celebrity hotline where we find Jeff Drummond of Cats Illustrated, who was on the sidelines taking pictures. I'm sure you saw his work online, on Facebook, on Twitter. And Jay Drum, were you at practice today?
Yes, I was, Dick.
Anything startling come out? Can we confirm, will Josh Alley play or not play? Do we know?
Well, it was defense day, and Brad White on the podium, so he's not going to talk about any injury news whatsoever. So we didn't get any kind of indication with that. But from what I am told by some folks that are pretty well tied in with the situation, it's probably going to be after that open date. Going into the Mississippi State game we'll see Ali again.
Okay. Well, I can tell you he was in a lot of pain, and you may have seen him. You were on the sidelines down there with me, and he tried to come back. They put that neoprene sleeve on him. He was running up and down the sidelines. He was moving laterally, and he just couldn't perform. So, that's a big loss.
And they know how important he is because the receiver position's a little thin, and I think they're looking at this kind of pragmatically, and you've got this LSU game, but you feel like you can go out and compete regardless. Then you got Georgia after that, which, you know, let's face it, that's going to be a monumental task to win that game, no matter who's on the field for Kentucky. So if you can buy him a week there, then you have the open date. You give that knee 3 full weeks to get back. And as I understand, it's just kind of a strain, sprain type deal. And you need him healthy for the rest of the season and some of those big swing games down the stretch.
And it's tough because this is his last year, and he came back for another year and all that. But, you don't want to risk anything. The question is, I guess, Jay Drum, we'll restructure our list of questions to you, is who has to move up? I know Isaiah Epps has been in the offense a bit, and Cummings as a tight end. You got, and Ram was just talking about how he'd love to see more tight end work. Of course, he was a tight end in the NFL, as you know. But how do you think they adjust without Josh Alley?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think you're going to see a lot more of the 12 personnel type deal, which, you know, is two tight ends out there working together, which they do a lot of that already. And we've seen a couple occasions where they have three out there together, and it really gets crazy. But I think that's probably their best option with reliable guys that they can count on. And, you know, it also gives them a chance, I think, to take advantage of some things that LSU allows defensively when you go bigger and controlling the run game. You know, we've seen some people run the ball on LSU this season with some high degree of success at times. So I would look for those tight ends first and foremost, and then maybe even go to the backfield. With a guy like Juton McClain, maybe Kavassier Smoke. We've seen them almost hit some of those wheel routes to him out of the backfield and get them involved a little more until they can get somebody, you know, in that receiver core to step up and make a move.
Jeff, would you call Yusuf Corker the most underappreciated player on this team? I mean, he leads the SEC in passes defended, and I feel like he may not even be mentioned this week in lead up to another big game.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a couple guys back there. You could make the case for Corker or Asian, you know, as well as he's played lately. It seems like every time they need, like, a big-time pass defense breakup, I look up and 23 is standing there over the receiver. So, yeah, either one of those guys. And they don't get as much attention as the guys on the front end, you know, Josh Pascal, who deserves every bit of notoriety he gets for the way he's been playing, or linebackers, which are a little more flashy and in the spotlight. But what can you say about this whole defense at this point? I mean, that's like Mark Stoops says, I agree with him. That's the best 2 weeks of defensive football back-to-back that we've probably seen during his time here, and I would argue probably going back to like those 76, 77 teams.
I was about to jump in and say just that, Jay Drum. It was those Derek Ramsey teams, which, of course, on defense, as you well know, means Art Still and Jerry Blanton. And in 76, Mike Martin. And, you know, I could go on. But, yeah, Jim Kovach. I mean, yeah, those were the teams that played defense like that in the SEC. I do want to double back, though, to something you said a minute ago about throwing to the running backs. And I was really optimistic. And you and I talked about this in preseason about throwing to the backs. And it really hasn't taken root yet in this offense. They've tried to do it. It's not been all that successful for, I think, three reasons. Number one is there have been some games where they really haven't had a lot of offensive plays for whatever reason. Number two, I think Levis has had trouble getting the timing down, getting a feel for these plays down. But number three, I think the running backs have let him down a little bit. There have been some drops of passes that could have led to more offense, meaning more passing and all that stuff. Are you optimistic that they'll be able to smooth out this area of the offense?
Well, you know, I would have been 2 weeks ago, but we've gotten this deep into the season, and it still seems like it's an issue,
yeah.
Number one, for Levis. And for whatever reason, you know, a guy that throws the heck out of the ball down the field and just a beautiful deep ball that's been right on the money a lot of times this season, he doesn't quite have that short and intermediate stuff down yet. And he's not off by much.
Right.
Some of those that you mentioned, the running backs could help him out, are probably even tougher than they appear to be just because of the placement of the ball. They're kind of on a hip and behind a guy or a little bit too high. And in defense of those guys, they haven't been asked to do any of that the last, you know, their entire time on campus, really. This is kind of brand new to them, too, because yeah. Eddie Grant's offense didn't really use much of those, you know, pass plays to the backs.
Right.
So I kind of give them a little bit of a pass on this. And I think it's something that Levis just has to be able to conquer and get comfortable with, because it's a huge part of the Liam Cohen package, the short passing game to both running backs and tight ends.
Well, Jeff, I'm not sure we can nail down that Eddie Grand didn't call that wildcat play on that fourth down against Florida. I would love to see that formation completely thrown out of the playbook.
Yeah, I know the wildcat has delivered a lot of good moments to Kentucky over the years, but, man, in those situations where you just need a yard or so, and I'd really love to see the quarterback under center and giving it to Chris Rodriguez with a full head of steam, instead of that, you know, direct snap and the guessing game, when the defense knows exactly,
right,
you know, who's going to get it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I like the wildcat when it's executed properly, and that's easy to say, but that also, yeah. but it's time and place. You know, there's time and place for everything. So, just a few minutes left with Jeff Drummond. We talked at the top of this hour about the fact that it looks like Josh Ali is going to be down. But, of course, LSU, Jeff's going to be missing some key personnel. And you got to wonder how this team's going to respond. I would imagine it will respond well. And by that, I mean play hard after that loss at home to Auburn. But, brother, think of the distractions when these kids have got to be wondering, are we playing for the coach's job?
Yeah, and I'm wondering how that's going to play out, because there are a lot of rumblings out there about that. Now, this is a really popular coach, though, to my understanding, and the players seem to love Ed Orgeron and love playing for him, even though it might not be reflected in their performance to date. But, you know, I see this as something as a kind of a wounded animal,
yeah,
coming in here this weekend. I think I'm seeing some red flags and it's not really from the team, but on the periphery, there was even a call to Stoops' show telling him, I don't know if you heard this the other night, that he had a freebie this week.
It
could get ready for Georgia because they've got a freebie.
Right.
I'm like, man, if this guy thinks you're not going to get LSU loaded for Bear, I don't know what to tell him.
And
Mark Stoops just scoffed at the comment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he couldn't believe what was, but I hear that kind of in the fan base, and it makes me wonder, are we going to get the same kind of frenzied atmosphere Saturday that they may need to push them over the top against LSU that we saw last week? I don't sense that there's that kind of that hunger and desperation for this matchup that they have for Florida.
Jeff, you mentioned players like playing for Ed Orgeron, go Tigers and all that. But I think the same thing is here at Kentucky with Mark Stoops. Max Duffy, the former punter, made a great point on his Pin It Deep podcast that Mark Stoops is such a player's coach, and players around the country know that. And that's why we saw something similar to the transfer portal, where instant starters like Jaquez Jones and Dare Rosenthal and Wandell Robinson want to come back and play for him. As much as we've linked Cal to the one and done, it feels like Stoops could get it done on the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, he hit a grand slam this year with it. I mean, every one of those that they have picked up has been huge for this team. And it makes you wonder, you know, with word getting out, hey, Kentucky's a place that guys can come in and be real happy and compete against the best teams in the country and be developed for the draft. If they're not able to, you know, work that magic again this next quote-unquote portal season.
That has really transformed college athletics. It just really has. And you've covered the recruiting beat for a long time. It has had a profound effect on recruiting in general. We have a tendency to think, Jay Drum, about basketball with the one-and-dones and all that, but definitely football. And like you said, and there were people who were saying and writing that nobody had more success. Of course, the jury's still out, but on paper, than John Calipari, and now definitely Mark Stoops. Kentucky, it looks like, is becoming a portal destination, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of feels that way, especially if they can finish off and have a special type of season where they end up in a bowl game that's kind of another rung or two up the ladder than they're used to being in. Like, for example, say if they find a way to get into the Sugar Bowl. Would have huge implications on recruiting. And, you know, there are going to be some guys out there who are looking around for a new home, and Kentucky's kind of put their, well, I don't want to say money where their mouth is. that may not be good in this situation. But the proof's in the pudding, you know, to throw out another cliche, that those guys get a chance to get on the field and be, impact players.
Yeah.
Jeff, I wanted to ask you how many Waka Flocka songs you can name besides Grove Street.
I know one. It's a party, it's a party, it's a party. Yeah. That's the only one. But I do know that guy was into the game. I spent a lot of the game down there. I think Dick was nearby us too. And he wasn't just there to, you know, I don't know if he got a check. He probably did. He wasn't there to just make an appearance. He was into it and enjoying it and genuinely loving the fact that this fan base has kind of flocked to his song, pun intended, and kind of made it their anthem.
Funniest thing, Jay Drum, to me, and he was right next to you, he was sitting on the sideline with his legs crossed, surrounded by his boys, you know, with a Z. He had, what did he have, 4 or 5 guys in his posse around him, which is fine. But they were standing. But I worried for him. I'm like, man, he's not going to be able to get out of the way. If somebody comes,
I shared the Steve Moss story from the Citrus Bowl with him.
Man,
I said you got to stay alive. Be careful over here because we had a guy amongst our ranks, you know, go and have to have knee surgery after taking a shot over here and sitting down. You could probably end up with worse than that.
Yeah, no question about it. But it all ended properly, didn't it? And now we're talking about an undefeated team taking on LSU. And whatever happens, Jeff Drummond will follow it and cover it, shoot pictures, write about it, talk about it. For Cats Illustrated, J Drum UK is his address. You should already be following him on Twitter. Thank you, J Drum. We will see you on the sidelines, whether we are seated or standing.
All right. Look forward to it, Gabe.
Have a good one, man. We'll take a break. And a reminder, Stockton Mortgage is where you want to be. That's what Wandale Robinson says. Six-figure deal. Good for him. Stockton Mortgage on Twitter is Stockton MTG if you'd like to see the ad. And they kind of take a fun poke at Dan Mullen where they say, quote, Wandale who? Which is not what he said, but that's, you know, people, they're having fun with
nice.
It. That's kind of what the Big Blue Nation wants to hear. Here's another one for you. Desmond Ridder. You know that name, don't you? Quarterback for the University of Cincinnati.
That's right. Did he sign somewhere?
I had forgotten. He's from Louisville. He went to St. X.
Oh, wow.
He's got the Bearcats in the top 10. They beat Notre Dame. He just signed with Bluegrass Automotive in Louisville. It's funny because he calls it, in the ad it says Bluegrass Motorsport. In his tweet he calls it Bluegrass Automotive. But good for him, standing in front of an SUV. Good for him. Back in a minute, 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Thanks again to Jeff Drummond for joining us. 280-2287. That's 280-CATS, 800-606-4263. Tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. Volleyball team comes back to take the second set, now leading, according to Chandler Wilcox, who was tweeting the match, 10-3 in the third. So they got a good one going. We're going to try to check in with Hunter Mitchell, who is a big volleyball guy, at the match coming up after the news break. So we'll get the latest on what's going on there. So it's going to be tougher. I read a story about, and I think I saw on Twitter, a comment from Allie Stumler, can you repeat as national champion? And, of course, I'm sure she's really optimistic about it. Going to be tough, though. That was such a special team last year. So not impossible, but it's going to be tough. Terrell Pryor, you know that name, former Ohio State star. He was a quarterback turned wide receiver in the NFL. He did, Billy, I think everybody will agree, what Tebow should have done. Changed positions right away.
Yeah, and he wasn't bad.
No. He played 7 years, I think.
All those tattoos on his body, too.
Yeah, you know, all that extra ink he carried. But, yeah, he had a credible career. Had a real big year for the Browns in 16, even though they stunk. But after that, he went to the Washington, the Bills, the Jets, was with the Jags in 2019, was cut in training camp. He's in trouble. He was arrested and charged with hitting a woman. He's only 32, so you know you might have thought he'd stick in the league longer, but he didn't. He's looking at a misdemeanor count of simple assault, but also charges of harassment, criminal mischief. He reportedly, after slapping the woman, threw a deck chair at her as she tried to get into her car. And then after she's in the car, Billy, he throws pumpkins at the car. I guess they were handy, right? Threw pumpkins at her windshield, which caused damage to the windshield. Prior to all this happening, he allegedly called her 50 times and sent 30 unanswered text messages. Some guys just can't take no for an answer. And I'm not trying to be glib about this. Man, anger issues. Hope he gets some help.
I hope he's all right, you know.
Yeah, I hope she's all right.
That too, you know, with CTE and what happened with Richard Sherman this offseason, we're seeing a lot of incidents.
Yep. Something to be concerned about. There's no question about that. The NFL news, of course, today includes Stephon Gilmore being, well, we heard released by the Patriots, then traded to the Panthers. This guy was an all-star at one point. Six-round draft pick, but a talented player, now a Panther. They're making a run, buddy. They're for real, I believe. More to come, 630 WLAP.
You're listening to Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider, Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge. We've been trying to find out more about the volleyball match, so let us go over to the Coliseum where Hunter Mitchell is shooting a game, no doubt. He's put his camera down long enough to help us with a report. Hunter, what's happening over there?
How you doing, Dick?
Good. Long time.
Yes, sir. It's been a little bit. The Cats are looking like they're back in the driver's seat here in the third set. So the Cats are going to go up 2-1 and get back in control. I think we all kind of thought they would be heading into the match.
What happened in that first set when Mississippi State won it?
Yeah, I think at times this season, Kentucky has really struggled to get out of those two-hitter rotations where Emma Grom is in the front row. Just with Madison Lilly in the games last year, you had that experienced quarterback, if you will, who knew when to dump the ball over, who knew the hitters had those connections. But those two-hitter rotations didn't really bother Kentucky. I think Emma Grom is still learning, how to get Kentucky out of those options. Johnny Teeler, again, she's a junior, but this is only her second year playing in the middle. So you're basically working it with a sophomore in that regard. So I think it's still that connection. Still trying to figure out, how to connect with her hitters and get them in position to score so that Kentucky doesn't get stuck in those long ruts where they, lose. I mean, in that first set, it was a 9-1 run by Mississippi State. They were down 4 and they went up and won by 4. So, it's one of those things where it's the growing pains that we kind of knew we were going to see heading into the season with a team is under experienced as this one is. But, like I said, it's impressive that the Cats have managed to, again, with this young team, seem to rebound, at least so far, and kind of get back in that driver's seat after falling to a Mississippi State team who's actually very talented. They were on the road, and they beat Florida. So, this is a Mississippi State team that has some talent to them. They've got some big hitters. So by no means is this a slouch of a team.
Right.
We knew this would be a battle, but Kentucky's holding their own so far. So
State beating Florida, a huge help to the Wildcats trying to win that next SEC title. And what, essentially, if you don't know the game, what Hunter's talking about is Kentucky's trying to find itself on offense. And when you lose a four-year starter at your quarterback, essentially, as Madison Lilly, who just – and what a setter is supposed to do is make everybody better, it's going to take a little while, isn't it?
It is, and I tweeted this out today. Kentucky in the new poll this week was ranked 5th, and I tweeted out the other day that, it's a remarkable achievement that they're even that high at this point in the season, again, with a team this young. Emma Grom has done a beautiful job stepping into that hole. I mean, if you would tell anybody that they had to fill a hole left by a player like Madison Lilly, that's a lot of, that's a big role to fill. And I think she stepped in, and I think she has a little bit of Lilly in her. I don't think she gets rattled very easily the way Lilly did. That doesn't mean she's as good as Lilly, but, I think that she has done a wonderful job of directing this team so far. And I think you're going to see Kentucky's offense get better and better. And Allie Stumbler kind of started the season really, really struggling from that left pin, which is uncharacteristic of her, especially as a senior. But, she's had two of the last three matches. Now she's reached 20 kills. And again, I think that's, more testament to that connection with Emma Grom developing a little bit more. So I think that where they are is a wonderful job. And the SEC is really, really talented this year. We've seen a lot of teams pull off a lot of upsets in the non-conference. So this is not going to be one of those seasons where Kentucky is just going to coast and only have to battle with Florida, and then come out on top. This is going to be a battle every night, every single night. So it's going to be, you're going to see a lot of four-set matches, five-set matches, with teams that maybe you wouldn't expect to see from years past.
Yeah, anybody who steps in and the shoes left by Madison Lilly and Gabby Curry, the Libro, they've got big shoes to fill. But it's a process, and as somebody over there put it to me, they're going to be really good in December, and that's when everything matters
the
most. So, Hunter, thanks. Keep us posted.
I will do it. Thank you, sir. You guys have a good one.
Appreciate it. Hunter Mitchell covering volleyball. Back to the phones we go. David's on line one over Louisville. What's up, David?
Hey, man, glad to get the update on the volleyball game.
Yeah.
I can give you an update on my wrestling match in the backyard between my Labrador Retriever and my Border Collie and my Boxer Beagle mix. Would you like that now?
Let me guess. You got a Border Collie, a Boxer Beagle.
Labrador Retriever and a Boxer Border mix, so I don't know.
The Labrador Retriever's got the size and strength. The Border Collie's got the brains. And the mix has the charm, right?
I tell you what, the lab definitely has the weight, okay?
Oh,
and
yeah.
The Border has the brain. But
yeah.
I'm happy to admit that I was totally wrong last week, and I'm glad I was. It was a beautiful game.
Yep.
In fact, after the first quarter, maybe even before the end of the first quarter, I told my wife we're in this game. It just was. I've seen
why?
So many games, but why?
Why did you say that?
Well, because we were hanging with them.
Yeah.
You know, we played with them, and that's what I was afraid we couldn't do. I was afraid they just can come out and throw their stupid long passes like they always do. But, you know, their quarterbacks just are not quarterbacks of the past, and there was no Kyle Pitts there either, by the
way. That's right.
So that's a good thing. So I'm thinking this week, I mean, Dick, you know, I want my cast to win. Should I stick with the pessimism? I'll tell you what I really think. I think, and I'm going to ask you guys again, last week I asked you, what's your percentage chance of we're going to win? I'm saying this week is 65% chance we're going to win.
Yeah, you had it 40-60 last week, I think.
I think I started with 20.
I think you did, yeah.
And then you said, what if there's no turnovers?
Right.
I said, then it's 40-60.
That's right. Yeah, I like that. Billy, what do you say? Do you like those percentages? Do you like those odds?
I would say about the same, yeah. I go 65 because I'm confident. But
can we stipulate that the turnovers are even at best? We got to say that.
Okay.
You can't go back to turning the ball over.
So what's your number there, Dick?
I'd say if turnovers are even or Kentucky's plus, I say 65 to 70.
So here's another question I have. In this game, this last game, we had consecutive plays where kicks were blocked. When's the last time that happened
Never.
In a Kentucky football game?
I've been
thinking about it all week.
I've covered this team. I'm in my sixth decade, David. I've never seen that, ever.
I mean, we blocked their field goal, and then they blocked our extra point. I mean, that's a rarity, but it was really cool. And that extra point that they blocked, I thought, it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us.
It always does. It always does.
All right, well, I'll be there again.
Were you there last week?
You know, at the end, my mother passed back in June, so I gave the tickets to my niece and her friends who are in school at Morehead State, and I went to Mom's house and helped clear some things out over there. But I'm going to be there this week. So
I was curious just because you being challenged in terms of your vision, I wonder what it felt like to you. But let us know how this game turns out for you.
Well, I was there for the LSU game in 07, sitting between both my parents. Who now passed, and it was a special night.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt the stadium shake that night and the night that Stevie got loose.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to hear feel the stadium shake again this week. So you guys have a good night.
Thanks,
by the way,
David.
Billy needs that K-Wood book, Dick. Okay, bring it to him.
Will do. See you, bud.
See you guys.
All right. 280-228-7800-606-4263. Tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. 65 to 70%, like I said, if you don't turn the ball over. And I feel like that storyline, Billy, is something that got lost because of all the other interesting, the main storylines, the sidebars. There are so many huge plays, so many things to talk about. Have we taken for granted the fact that Kentucky throws a pick and only surrenders a field goal? That's another characteristic of his defense. As badly as the offense has done at taking care of the football, which means it hasn't done a very good job, it has not hurt them that much thanks to the defense.
Yeah, it's bailed them out many a times.
Yeah.
I mean, normally you have a turnover differential like Kentucky's, and there's no way you're close to undefeated. So it is really amazing to think that this team has kept their head above water, especially when you could say the offense hasn't reached its potential either.
No.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, you cannot understate how important turnovers are, especially while you're waiting for Will Levis to kick into gear here.
And, you know, I mean, I'm glad you said that because you were reading my mind there. One of the things that, I don't know if it was you or a guest or somebody said last week, was that Levis had to play his best game as a Wildcat for Kentucky to beat Florida. Do you think he did that?
No, I don't.
All right. Throw out the ULM game. Was that his best game as a Wildcat?
If you throw out the ULM
game?
That's tough.
But see, the reason it's tough is because he really hasn't been a shining star.
No, it's all been, I don't want to say mediocrity, but it's better than that.
It's been good enough. You know, I mean, do you tag him with game manager? That's like damning him with faint praise. But that's the job. Every quarterback has to be a good game manager. The question is, can you be more? And I think he was in the Florida game. He wasn't that much more, but, and you talked about this the other night, and Leach talked about it post-game, that squirrely snap, I don't know if it was technically a fumble, but a bad snap that he turned into not just recovering, but a first down that directly led to a touchdown in lieu of a field goal, that's a big play. So to me, that means he did more than just manage the game. But he's not yet where people expected him to be based on what they saw against one of the worst Division I teams in America, ULM.
And I also think there's a mental confidence of having Levis on this squad, Dick. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, it's almost like having Tom Brady. I'm not going to say, you know, comparing him GOAT status-like, but I don't – your offense can – put two touchdowns on the board a lot quicker than maybe you thought in years past.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So you feel like you're in a game.
Yeah.
Even though it may be a 10-point deficit.
Yeah.
Maybe compared to years past where you feel like 10 points is insurmountable.
Well, and a big part of that, of course, is the latest spokesman for Stockton Mortgage,
Wandale
Robinson. You're welcome, Stockton Mortgage. But that's your last free plug. You're right about that. But the threat is there. Because you've got a downfield threat in Wandale Robinson. Now, I would love to see a completion, and they've tried it. You know, they've thrown deep, but not successfully to Josh Elliott. Well, he's not going to play. Isaiah Epps, you know, haven't connected with him. Derek Ramsey, and as you might expect, a former NFL tight end, but a guy who knows NFL offenses. Talking about throwing more to the tight end. Everybody wants to see that. Who doesn't? I guarantee you Liam Cohen does, but I maintain they've thrown more to tight ends than maybe we realize because they haven't been successful at it. Either Levis is overthrown or there have been drops, but there have been some big catches by tight ends this year.
Big touchdown against Chattanooga.
Exactly.
By Isaiah Cummings, I think.
And also some catches for first downs. And Bates caught a touchdown pass, sliding, diving catch, his first as a Wildcat, still his only as a Wildcat. But like I said, move the chains more. Now you have a chance to obviously run more plays, throw the ball more, and throw the ball to tight ends. Because they do indeed have a talented room. And I'm especially interested in seeing what Cummins can do next. Because when you think about a guy who just wasn't quite fleet of foot when it came to being a wide receiver, but moving to tight end, a guy, as Derek said, who can beat a free safety, converted linebacker, you think of Jacob Tammy, if you've been around here for a while. The gold standard when it comes to tight ends, with due respect to James Whalen. But in a pro-style offense, Jacob Tammy was almost unguardable because he could outrun any linebacker in the Southeastern Conference, and he had great hands. You'd love to see that.
And he's opened up some blocking holes as well.
Yeah.
I found it interesting that Liam Cohen talked about the team watching NFL tape and watching the Rams and how they play because that's the final product. You know, I don't care what league you're in. That is what this offense is supposed to look like. So even though you're not in the league, we're going to watch film about how they do it at the highest level.
How great is that?
I think it's
when you're an
a great
OC,
way to teach.
And you talk about getting their attention. I mean, all these guys are going to be watching the NFL games anyway, right? So why not watch with a purpose? Look, here's where you want to be. Here's what you need to do when you get there. I am trying to teach you or help you learn how to do this kind of stuff, right? NFL teams all steal from each other, don't they? Sure. They steal the good stuff.
I'd say very much the reason why Wandale Robinson came to this school, because Scott Frost ran him 80 times his freshman year as a running back. That's not how he's going to be used in the NFL.
No.
He wants to come to a pro-style-like offense.
When he decided to leave Nebraska, you're right. he started looking around, and we all asked him, you know, well, how much was this new offense an influence? That's the reason. I think he was going to be close to home, but unless you sign with Kentucky State, you can't get any closer to home if you're Wandale Robinson than UK. All right, when we come back, a quick look at tonight's baseball playoff game. There's some fun history involved in one of these games. Not the Dodgers-Cardinals, you might think, but another one that involves some fist fights and some loud discussions. Plus, if you're wanted by the law, do not go to a public place like a ball game. There are cameras everywhere. We'll tell you about that when we come back here on 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Thanks again to our guests tonight, Derek Ramsey, Jeff Drummond, Frederick Douglass versus Brian Station, scheduled for tonight, rescheduled for tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. They are still trying to figure out where. That is soccer, by the way. At least that's what I believe they're talking about. They said to tonight's match. Caller off air, actually a text message from Ken in Lexington, wants to know, do we believe UK's offense looks better when the quarterback's under center because the backs hit the hole faster and it's a better sell for play action? Your thoughts, Mr. Rutledge?
I have pulled a lot of hair out of my head, Dick, when they run out of the shotgun. I don't know. Maybe I just don't understand football enough, but it seems infuriating when you need 1 yard and you back up 4 yards before you hand off the ball.
Hate that.
I mean, that's up there with the Wildcat for me. You know, I can't say I've seen that big a difference between one or the other, but the caller does make a point when it comes to play action, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
I fully agree. I always go back to the 07 team, which was the best offense I've ever seen at Kentucky. Due respect to Mr. Ramsey's offense, but because he was the offense at times back in the 70s, but different era, different rules. But yeah, for one thing, your play action's more effective. Now, they've gone out of the shotgun through the years here because they were doing so much RPO stuff. And there is some RPO stuff in this offense. There's RPO now in the NFL, like it or not. And it's fine if you run it properly. And I think it might run better out of the shotgun. But I am still high on the offense when the quarterback's under center for just what Billy was talking about. It gives your running back a chance to be going downhill when he hits the hole. When he gets the football, his momentum's already got him going. And Rodriguez is good enough, and his footwork is good enough, and surely Cavassier Smoke as well, to know how to find the right holes, even on the run, taking the handoff from a quarterback under center. So I do like that. I know there are reasons at times to go shotgun. But like Billy, you know, said, if you need one yard, yeah.
I also like the jet sweep under the center. You know, a receiver's
coming by,
and it's an easy, simple handoff instead of you pitching the ball forward.
Yep,
as it counts as a forward pass.
Yeah, I agree. Although if it's fumbled, it's just a pass, and you get to start
that,
over.
A little like shovel pass near the goal line. You see that Mahomes do that sometimes.
Oh God, what a play!
Mahomes been doing that a lot nowadays.
Yeah. But again, if it's knocked down, it's incomplete.
Right.
It's not a fumble. Real quick, there's a guy named John Ruffo who was convicted in the late 90s of a $350 million bank fraud scheme, sentenced to 17 and a half years in prison, given a bond and said your court date is such and such, disappeared, well, along with $13 million. They think they spotted him. U.S. Marshals were looking at video from a Dodgers game. From the Red Sox at Dodgers game, and they think they spotted him in the stands. They still haven't caught him, but he's a big baseball guy, I guess.
Couldn't listen on the radio. Had to go in person.
Had to spend some of that $13 million. Keep an eye on White Sox Giants, Tony La Russa versus Dusty Baker. I didn't know this. These guys don't like each other, and that goes back one of the incidents. Remember the Reds Cardinals in 2010, that big fight? They were the managers. They still don't like each other. Could get interesting for Billy, Dick Gabriel. That's it. Good night from Lexington.